Good to be back in the Lord's house. If you have your Bible, turn back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1. Amen. Praise God. Nehemiah chapter 1. The Bible says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Sheshulah, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity are there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive to thine, and thine eyes open, that thou mightest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor judgments, but thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying is that if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee that thy servant this day grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. I want to preach for a moment time tonight, if God will be my help on this thought, on a strategy for success. A strategy for success. As I was looking at this, and I know we've done went through some of this, we've done seen what Nehemiah done, and say he did finish the wall in 52 days. But how in the world did such a man have such a strategy for success? If we're ever going to accomplish anything for the Lord tonight, we're going to have a strategy for success. Amen? And it's not a complicated thing to have a strategy for success, because God Almighty, He wants us to succeed. Amen? He wants every one of us to succeed. He wants you and I. He wants every one of us to succeed in the greatness of God and the help that He has to give us. And what we have to do is just accept Him and His goodness and His mercy, praise God, that endures forever, so that we can have a strategy for success. Now the Bible teaches us here that Nehemiah, he got the news and he began to pray and spent 4 months agonizing with God. 4 months talking to the Lord. 4 months praying and fasting, seeking the will of God for his life and for his people. Amen. He never quit, never gave up, praise God, never changed his strategy. See, part of it, that was part of his strategy. Amen. To get a hold of God, that God might get a hold of him. Amen. And begin to deliver him and give him those things that he would need to be successful. Amen. To have a successful strategy. And I got to thinking about some of this stuff our Monday and Tuesday, and as I was going along in my studies and my reading, my devotion. And I got to thinking about how the success that he had was because of a strategy that he had. And I want to give you about five things right quickly tonight in Nehemiah's strategy that helped him to do right in the eyes of a holy God. Number one, Nehemiah paid attention. He realized that there was a problem. Amen. In verses 2 and 3, we see that Nehemiah, he heard the people when they come down, they began to tell him what was happening. He wanted to know how things was going. He wanted to know how things was going for the people of God. He wanted to know how things was going, praise God, in the progress of God's people. Amen. So he realized, they come down to him and they begin to speak to him, and Hananiah comes down, he said, hey, listen, he said, it's not good. He said, we got up there, and I believe what we're seeing here is they got up there and they begin to build, they begin to reestablish, and I believe it was a folks that went up in Ezra's time, and they begin to build, and they begin to accomplish some things for the glory of God. And then a king Artaxerxes, he come up and they said, hey, listen, they're just going to build up, and then they're going to take away all the tax money, all the revenue. And Artaxerxes, he said, hey, wait a minute, we'll just cut them off. Amen. Remember I read in your hearing the other day how he stopped the building in Ezra chapter 4? He said, yeah, just shut it off, cut it down. He said, wait a minute, we're going to have to stop this. And what he did, when he done that, let me just read that to you right quickly. I'm not going to read it all, but we know the Artaxerxes, he shut them down and he stopped the building. And verse 21 of Ezra chapter 4, he said, give you now commandment to cause these men to cease and that this city be not builded until another commandment shall be given from me. Take heed now that you fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the hurt? Now watch this, of the kings. Say, hey, listen, this is the welfare of the people that you're dealing with here. And he said, we can't do it to the hurt of the people. Now watch what he says. And he said, now when, in verse 23 of Ezra 4, he said, now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rahab and Shimshai, the scribe, and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them, now watch this, and made them to cease by force and power. Amen? They caused cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, so it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, the king of Persia. So we see this thing. He said they went up, I praise God, and they went up and they took it by force. Now history tells us that maybe it was Sanballat that got all upset over this because Ezra went up. One of the priests had married his daughter and they got up there and said, you know what? We can't do this. It's not lawful that we would take lives of these strange people. And when Ezra got there and he began to set this thing up and cause separation to be in God's people, in God's family, he had to put her aside. And they said, history says that Sanballat got mad about that and he got all of them stirred up to try to stop Israel from building. Stop them from building Jerusalem. Stop them from building the temple. Amen. So we see a time here when Nehemiah's here. He's in the king's house. He's doing a good work at the king's house. He's living comfortable in the palace. Amen. Hello? Amen. Now think about this. He's living comfortable in the palace. But he gets word from a far country, amen, that his homeland, praise God, is desolate. He gets a word from the homeland that the walls is torn down, that were built, and the gates are burned with fire. All the work that God had tried to accomplish was destroyed, had come to naught. And he was in anguish, amen. But why would he care? Why would he even give it a second thought? He was in the king's palace. Amen. He was the king's cupbearer. He was a man of authority. Amen. Praise God, he was there in the palace. He was not only in the palace, but he had found a favorable position in the palace. I mean, he was the cupbearer. And most of the time, if the cupbearer, he was the one that would taste the wine, amen, for the king, make sure he wasn't being poisoned. He was responsible for going out and make sure that the wine and the grapes and everything that was coming in, praise God, was safe for the king and for his kingdom. Amen. So Nehemiah had that responsibility. That was his position. And he would be given power, even to the power of having the king's ring and the signet, praise God, where he had to put his stamp of approval on everything. Amen. And sometimes history teaches that he would even be the CFO, the chief financial officer for the whole kingdom. So why should he care what happens in Jerusalem? It's just an old decaying, dilapidated place that was burnt down. It was torn down. Why would he care? But there was something down deep inside of Nehemiah, praise God. And when Hananiah coming to him, and he said, oh, Nehemiah, he said, it's awful. See, Nehemiah, I guess he thought, boy, the things is going good. I've heard about, you know, Ezra went up there, the prophet, a ready scribe, ready to go up, praise God, and build the temple in the foundations of which it was on, glory be to God, and to give the law of God. But this guy comes in there, Hananiah comes down, he said, Nehemiah, it ain't happening. What? Can you imagine? It's kind of like being a child of God, a Christian. And boy, the churches are growing, the churches are building, people's getting saved, people seeing, getting on fire for God. People ain't afraid to stand, praise their hands, and worship God down at the house of God. And all of a sudden you show up one day and everybody's just, a part of the congregation gone, the other part's just, they're just discontent, a part dissuaded, a whole lot of people just really don't care no more. Amen. How sad that would be. Amen. So Nehemiah, he breaks his heart. Amen. It got his attention. He realized that they was a problem. Amen. Hey, listen, till God gets our attention, we ain't going to realize there's a problem. It'll continue like it is till God gets our attention and we realize there's a problem. Amen. Praise the Lord. A strategy for success. Number one, Nehemiah, that God got his attention. Amen. Number two, Nehemiah had to come to an admission. He had to come to an admission, praise God, that they had a part in this. Amen. When we come to a realization, praise God, we come to admission that everything that happened at the house of God and at my house, praise God, I've got a part in it. We're living today and there, nobody wants to take responsibility for anything they do. We'll do anything, say anything, go anywhere, do anything, praise God, and we don't take any responsibility for any of it. It just is what it is, preacher. That's what they say. It just is what it is. And we won't admit, praise God, and face problems there, that we have a part in those problems. Amen. And why do we do that? Why would we go out and chase after the things that we chase after, praise God, without any regard for the godliness of it? Amen. Because we don't think, we're not willing to admit that we've got a part in everything that happens. We deal with people all the time with had problems with marriages and things like that, and we got a whole lot of folks that never want to admit that they're part of the problem. Amen. Hey, listen. Last time I checked, it's hard for me and Andrew to fight. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we ain't both of us got some kind of issue with each other. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I'm just bebopping along doing my thing. It's all him. Amen. Well, it ain't all him. Praise God. It takes two to tango. You know what I mean? Amen. So what we got to do, in fact, we got a brother that's got all. The Bible says we leave our offering at the altar, glory to God, and we go, we fix that thing. Amen. I'm supposed to go to Brother Andrew, not just Brother Andrew. Son, I love you. What's the matter? Now let's fix this thing. Amen. And we're supposed to cry and weep and pray. Amen. Till we get it under the blood. Amen. 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 That's the way God designed it to be. Amen. Amen. To fix it before God. To allow God to help us to mend this thing. But we got to realize, praise God, hey, if I've got a part in it, if I've hurt your feelings, if I've offended you, if I said something you don't like. Now, if it's biblical, I ain't going to back up. But I'll take the Word of God and I'll show it to you. Amen. We'll sit down, brother, we'll love your neck and say, here, this is it. God, I didn't mean to hurt you, brother, but this is what God said. Amen. And if there's any ounce of God in you, praise God, you look at it and you say, you know what? Brother, you're right. Preach on, glory to God. Amen. But we got to realize, praise God, that we have a part in it. But why can't we realize that today? Because we don't want to. Why do we have problems? Why do we war with each other? James says it best in James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, he said, from whence come wars and fightings among you? He said, why can't you get along? Hello, listen. Was somebody going somewhere? He said, why can't you get along? He said, come they not hence from your lust, that war in your members? You know why most of us can't get, why we have problems? Because we want to have the final word. Huh? We want to have the final word. We want to have the final say-so. Instead of coming to agreement, say, you know what? We're both wrong. We both messed up. We both hurt each other's feelings. And I'm sorry. Amen. And then the other can look at you and say, you know what? I'm sorry too. It was a stupid thing. Aren't you know this? Pray God, let's just go on for God's glory. But we forget about God. We forget it that there's somebody in this, praise God, that's a whole lot bigger than we are. Who's looking down, he sees us, he knows where we're at, praise God. And what we got to do, I can't fix Brother Andrew, but praise God, I can fix me. I can come to a place, praise God, of a heart of forgiveness, a heart of love, a heart of compassion, praise God. Say, Lord God, just help me to be what you'd have me to be for your glory. Amen. But he said we fight, we war, rumors, wars, because we consume to do it, to consume it upon our own lust. And we want to get our good part out of it. He said, you lust and have not, and you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You know why? Because you're trying to get a hold of the wrong thing. There's a whole lot of people around us today, praise God, they're trying to get a hold of the wrong thing. They're trying to get a hold of this world, and they're trying to get as much as they can. And they're trying to can it, praise God, and keep it to themselves. Amen. But I want to say glory be to God. Hey, listen, they get it. They can get it and get it all over them and all in them and praise God, all of that. But one day in a little while, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to say, He said, my beloved, my fair one, come away. And glory be to God, we're going to go out of here. And they're going to get stuck hugging their luggage, their baggage. All it's going to do, praise God, is be something that's going to hold them down and hinder them. Amen. Praise God. Hey, listen, I don't want no hindrance. Yes, glory be to God. I don't want nothing. I want the glory of God to fill my soul and to help my heart, praise God, for His glory. Amen. So I can go out of here with not being with a pout, but praise God with a shout. Amen. Smile on my face, praise God, that the old undertaker can't even wipe off. Amen. Glory be to God. I want to go out of here shouting and praising the Lord for His glory. Amen. Praise God. I hope you do too. Amen. But glory to God. He said, and you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight more, yet you have not because you ask not. He said, what we need, praise God, we need to ask of God. And He'll give us, praise the Lord, in abundance, that we need. Amen. And that's that inward part, praise God, that'll help us be satisfied with that outward part. Amen. Praise God, help us realize, glory be God, we don't need all this luggage anyway. Amen. It's kind of, all this stuff world is kind of like luggage. You get it and you keep it forever. And praise God, when you go out of here, you don't take none of it with you. Amen. Praise God, you leave it behind for somebody else. I told my brother, I was aggravating him. I think I've told you this. We're talking about my place and my little tractor and all that one day. He said, I like that little tractor. I'd like to have that. Have one like that or something like that. I said, well, I tell you what, when the rapture takes place, brother, you can have it. Amen. I figured I'd get him really good, but he never blinked an eye. He said, I'll tell you what, when you come back in 7 years, don't expect me to give it back. Amen. Well, praise God, I tell you what, hey, listen, this old stuff ain't much, praise God, but there's a God of glory. He said that when we have a strategy for success, praise God, we realize our part in this, praise God, and Nehemiah realized, praise God, that all that has transpired, all the things that come down on the nation of Israel, he said that was just the judgment of God. Amen. It was God dealing with them to help them realize, praise God, that they had all they needed. They didn't need all the other stuff. Amen. They needed the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, and His goodness and His mercy. Praise His holy name. That's all they had to have. Amen. And James says we lust and we try to get all that we can, praise God, when all that we need is the Lord. Amen. He is all we need. Might as well be, hey, listen, wherever you're at now, just be satisfied where you're at, because it ain't going to be long. Jesus is coming. You say, how do you know? I read it in the book. Amen. He said, look up, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's coming, we're going. Amen. So Nehemiah, he had a strategy of success. He had attention. He paid attention to the problem. He had an admission. He realized his part, that they were just sinners exceeding. Amen. Verse 4, he said, it came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days. Amen. He broke his heart. He said, in verse 6, he said, let thine ear now be attentive. And thine eyes open, he's talking to God, that thou mightest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, night and day, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Now watch this. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Amen. He said, we've all got a part in this. We realize, praise God, that God, he realized, he admits, praise God, his part. Amen. You know what? In order to be saved, we got to realize that we're old sinners. Amen. We're just old sinners, praise God, in need of a Savior. That we can't help ourselves. We can't turn over a new leaf. You know, I've tried that several times, Brother X, over the years. I mean, you know, like on New Year's Day or New Year's Eve, you make a resolution to turn over a new leaf and come to, amen, and the next morning, New Year's Day, you come to realization 2 or 3 days down the road or a week down the road, praise God, at that side, the leaf's just as nasty and filthy as the other side. Amen. That we can't get no help there. Praise God, he's a God of glory. When we realize we're old sinners, that we need somebody to help us. And then God begins to go, right, that's a strategy for success. To realize we're sinners exceeding and we need help. Amen. Amen. And then help comes. Notice number 3, Nehemiah's acquisition. He acquired some help. Provisions for success. Amen. Praise God. In Nehemiah chapter 2, the king comes to him, praise God, and he's looking for God. He realizes that God is the only one that can help him. He's in a situation, amen. He's an admission that he needs that kind of help. But in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 9, he says this. Then we'll go to Nehemiah chapter 2. He said, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter ye abroad among the nations. Verse 8, verse 9 says, but if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though that thou were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence. Amen. So what he does, he realizes an acquisition, something needs provision for success. He needs that help from the Lord. He needs God's forgiveness. Amen. God's forgiveness is that help that he needs. We need God's forgiveness. That's what gives us our help. You know why most people sitting in God's house tonight, they're unsatisfied, they've lost their joy, they're unhappy because we've never just asked God to forgive us. We've never allowed God to forgive us. Amen. We have to repent and say, Lord, forgive me and help me, praise God. And he was looking, the provision that he's looking for success was the Lord's forgiveness. Amen. The happiness, the joy comes in and the happiness, oh, flood, praise God, when you get forgiveness from the Lord. Amen. As I said, the only person that can help you is you. Amen. Through the Lord. There's nobody that can fix you. Amen. If somebody else tries to fix you, you'll be broker than you already are. You'll be more broken. Amen. I've seen it time and time again, especially young ladies. They'll get hooked up with some fella, and they think he's the best thing since sliced bread. But he's got a few things that he does wrong. There's some things about him that ain't right. There's some things about him that's ungodly. And they think, well, you know, I'll get him. I'll latch a hold of him. I'll set my hooks in him, and I'll change him. You can't change him. Amen. Amen. Maybe the only way she'll change him is she can live a good godly. But most of the time, what does that person will drag that poor little gal off in the mud? He'll drag her out of church, or he'll drag her out of church, and that to destroy their lives, destroy their wit, tear up their testimony. Amen. I've seen it too many times. But with the acquisition for success, praise God, you got to have a provision. Amen. For provision for sin, a faithfulness to God, a forgiveness from God, help from the Lord. Amen. And where there's help, there's hope. Amen. Looking forward to the restoration. Amen. The whole purpose is getting the help and the hope from God is for restoration, to be restored to the Lord. Amen. So the strategy for success, praise God, is to realize a problem, to admit your part in it, amen, and acquire the help that we need from the Lord. Amen. So we see Nehemiah's acquisition, but we also see Nehemiah's advancement. In Nehemiah chapter 2, praise God, he advanced when he got help, when he found the potentate's favor. Amen. The potentate, the one that was in charge. When he found favor, Praise God. We'll get help when we get favor from the Lord. Amen. And the king said, in Nehemiah 2 and verse 4, it said, "Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request?" Amen. So see, Nehemiah, he got advancement, praise God, when he got attention to the potentate. Say, we'll have advancement, amen, a strategy for success when we get the attention of the potentate. When we get attention of God, amen, and he sees our godliness, our God-likeness, amen, sees that we're trying to do the things that please God, he'll begin to bless us on purpose. Amen. He is our Heavenly Father. Hey, listen, remember, your Father wants to help you. Amen. Yeah, there's not a father out here, if he's worth his salt, that don't want to help his children. Amen. He wants to help them. Praise God. So the king said, "For what dost thou make request?" He said, "Son, what do you need?" He said, "See, your countenance is fallen." He said, "What's the matter? What do you need to get you back up?" Amen. Praise God. He said, Nehemiah's advancement. He advanced into the throne room of God. God seen him in his presence. Amen. And God began to meet his need. Praise the Lord. An advancement. Praise God. What we need is an advancement. We need to advance this thing called Christianity. We need to get closer to the Lord. Amen. We need to get the eye of the potentate, the God of glory. Amen. And just wait on him and move up. Praise God. Closer to him day by day. Amen. Do we come into the throne room of grace where God begins to help us? Praise the Lord. So we see Nehemiah, his advancement, praise God. Bless his holy name. And he found his place near the potentate. He found his place near, that's where we need to find our place, is near God. We need to find our place, praise God, right near him, praise God. And a place where we won't be moved. Where we can't be dissuaded, we can't be persuaded, praise God, because we know we're in the right place. Amen. According to his magnificent mercy. And his tender love, praise God. He's right there to help us. Amen. So we see Nehemiah's advancement. But we also see Nehemiah's achievement. Amen. What he achieved. So he wasn't out there. He wasn't out for some kind of perverted motivation. Amen. Some ungodly something. Some selfish motivation. He wasn't out to do that for self. Amen. He was out there. He said, "God," he said, "I got to look and praise God. I got to realize it." He said, and I in the nation of Israel, praise God, we broke your commandments and your statute and your judgments. Amen. He said, "We just shredded the law and we need help. We need to find someone. God, help us get back on track." Amen. So the achievement that we see through Nehemiah, praise God, it wasn't a perverted motion, but praise God, it was a desire and a reverence for God and godliness. Amen. There was no self-will, no lustfulness about it. Praise God, it was all for the glory of God. But now notice something else. It was no preconceived agenda. Amen. He didn't just set out and say, "You know what? I believe I'll go up here and I'll do this thing." No. He heard it. God got his attention. He said, "There's a big problem." Amen. "There's a big problem with the people." And he began to pray. He began to say, for 4 months he agonized and feasted and prayed with God. Amen. When we realize that we've got a problem and we begin to pray and fight and seek God's face for that problem. It may be a lost child. It may be a lost mama. It may be a lost daddy, a mama or papa. But praise God, when we realize that there's a problem, they're lost. Amen. And God begins to break our heart. I was talking to a fellow today. Boy, he made a lot of sense. He said his preacher put a challenge on him a while back. I know you don't like challenge. It's hard on you. But the preacher put a challenge on him a while back. And he said, "What do I want you to do?" He said, "For Wednesday night prayer meeting, they come together and they pray every Wednesday night at the end of service, during service, sometime or another." He said, "I'll tell you what I want you to do." He said, "I want you to get one person on your heart. You pray about one person. And every time you pray for that one person." And said, "When we come to church on Wednesday night prayer meeting," he said, "you think about that and you pray for that one person. Amen. And they're doing that. They're doing it for a period." He said, "After a period of time," he said, "then we'll get us another person." Amen. "And we'll add to that list." And glory to God, that'll work. Amen. Boy, you talk about putting people out there and getting them wrung out. Amen. Praise the Lord. When we see, praise God. Why? Because if we have an agenda, praise God. If we have an agenda for success, praise God, it's when we get a hold of God. It wasn't a preconceived motion, praise God. He had in his mind the agenda that he had was the agenda of God. He was looking for God and godliness and God's help. Amen. He was waiting on the Lord, Brother Dean. Amen. He didn't just jump up and take off, you know, half-cocked in this direction or that direction. But praise God, he stayed there and he waited on the Lord till God opened the door. Amen. Till he caught the eye of the potentate. Amen. To the supreme God, to the good God of glory. Amen. And he said, hey, listen. He said, I'm going to open a door for you. See, now this amazes me that this same Artaxerxes is the one that had done closed the door. He closed the door and he said, hey, listen, we're going to stop this building because it's going to be anti-productive. But old Nehemiah, he was there and he began to pray and began to agonize with God. Boy, Artaxerxes was touched in his heart. And I don't know. I can't figure it out because he said he talked to... The Bible says that when he was there, that day the queen was there with him. And I just wonder if when he was there and he was a prayer and he seen God's face, if they look back on that little old girl, that Jewish girl named Esther, who had the power of God all over, and that, praise God, her and old Mordecai began to pray and it shook the whole kingdom. Amen. Amen. And I begin to wonder if maybe she reached over and whispered in his ear and said, son, remember when you was just a boy, praise God, and old Esther. Amen. Remember when the Jews through those few people, it shook this whole kingdom. And son said, wouldn't it be good if they was on your side? Amen. Praise the Lord. I thought, well, glory. Amen. And he caught the eye of the king. Amen. Now it could have been, could you imagine? He was just like old Esther praying. If she come into the court and hadn't been called, and the king said, all he had to do is say, away with her, and she was done. But he held out his scepter to her. Amen. Nehemiah was in the same situation. But he had fasted and prayed for 4 months. And he went in before the king, and the king said, son, your countenance. Yet he said he'd never before been sad. His countenance been sad in the king's presence. The king might have thought, well, something's up. Wonder what he's got against me. Wonder what I've done to make him mad. I better get me another cupbearer and away with him. But no. See, God had already intervened. Why? Because he had a strategy for success. Amen. He had done come down to the point, praise God, that it wasn't a preconceived agenda, praise God. He was trying to do the will of God. God said, I want to restore the people back to the nation. And I want to build up the temple, praise God. He said, I want to build up the walls. So Nehemiah, he pulled up there and he began to see it. Praise God. And he had a strategy for success. If we're going to accomplish anything for the good God of glory, we're going to have a strategy for success. Listen, mamas and daddy, you're going to have a strategy for your home. Amen. Mom and daddy, you've got to come together as one. If you're married, you already are. Hello? Amen. You are one. So we not need to start doing like we're one. I started saying pretending or acting, but we're not actors. This is the real thing. This is not a test. So you need to come together and act like one, praise God, for the glory of God. So with these little old young ones, I have a chance. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about a strategy for success. If not, you're just going to throw your young ones off to the devil and they'll be destroyed and end up in hell, lost without God. They'll be on alcohol and drugs and everything else and never have a chance. But praise God, if we have a strategy for success. You say, well, preacher, I've been in this thing a long time. I've come up and I've tried to do the will of God. I've come to a point and it just seems like things are stalling out. Let me tell you what happened in Nehemiah. Glad you thought that because he must have telepathed it to me. Nehemiah pulled up to Jerusalem. He got up there and the Bible says that night, chapter 2, that night, I believe, what, 13 or 14, somewhere, he pulled up there to the walls and he told them, fellas, let's go out and take a little walk. And he got on his mule or his horse, whatever it was, and they go riding out. And And he looked things over. Amen. You know what? In my mind's like, you know what he was doing? He had talked to God. He had agonized God. He had got this far. And it took him probably months and months, praise God, to get from the palace to Jerusalem. And he had a strategy for success with the help of the Lord. But when he got to Jerusalem, he pulled up over there and he looked things over. And remember, he didn't see the rubbish. He saw the walls. But what he done is he reevaluated the situation. Amen? And he began to form him a revised strategy for success. Are you hearing me? Sometimes in our Christian life, we've got to pull up, we've got to stop, we've got to get before God, and we've got to revise us a strategy for success. We've got to have a revision to our strategy for success. It may be that the strategy we had ain't working. Amen. It's let us down. So we need to reevaluate our strategy. And most times what we need to do is realize how much God is in it and how much we are in it. And we need to take us out, praise God, and put Him in. Wait upon the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. But when we come to a point, till we get maybe God's help us, and we've come to a point, the strategy for success, we've come up to the point, praise God, and we're in the house of God, we're doing the things of God, we're working for the Lord, we're seeing God, amen, we're rejoicing in our hearts because what God's doing for us. Amen, Brother X. Right where God, amen, praise God, God, seeing God move, seeing God help us, growing. But sometimes we've got to come to a point where we pull up, praise God, and we reevaluate the situation. Amen. Our strategy for success. Lord, where does it need to go from here? I've come this far, Lord, but I need to reevaluate my strategy for success. Amen. And praise God, that's all up to you. Because I can't succeed in nothing by myself. Amen. But God with you, so I need some direction, Lord. Amen. I need maybe a little time in the Word, a little devotion, a little prayer, a little fasting. Show me, God, my strategy. I need to reevaluate my strategy for success. Amen. Praise God. Nehemiah had a strategy for success. I want to ask you tonight, do you have a strategy for success? Or are you just bebopping along, just hoping everything goes okay? That ain't no way for a child of God to live. Amen. Are you hearing me? That's no way for a child of God to live. We need to bow every day and pray and ask God to help us be mindful of Him. Amen. So that no matter where we go, what we do, or what we say, praise God, the Lord's right there. Amen. Amen. With a strategy for success. You say, well, preacher, what kind of success are you talking about? I'm talking about being pleasing to God. Amen. No matter what happens, whether we're rich or poor, famous or a nobody, praise God, our old goal, our strategy for success should be pleasing to God. Amen. And if that ain't our strategy for success, we're going to be miserable failures. Amen. Amen. But if we've got a strategy for success, maybe you're here tonight, praise God, and you've had a strategy for success, but you've come to a point, just don't seem like you're succeeding like you would like to. Well, maybe God wants us to take an opportunity just to reevaluate our strategy. Amen. To reevaluate where we are, what we're doing, and why we're doing it. Amen. Because we ought to be doing it for God's glory. And if we're not, we're asking amiss to consume it upon our own lust. To where we can say, well, look what I did. But it ain't about what I do. But praise God, it's about what He does. Amen. It ain't about me. But it's about the good God that I can try to put out there and show everybody else. I said, Lord, help me to be little and You be big. Amen. Praise be to God.